The order of Passion Week. We're coming up to where we celebrate the crucifixion of Christ. We call it Good Friday. And then we have Palm Sunday the week prior to that. And we've got Easter Sunday. We've got all of those things coming up. And this morning we have communion. So I want to do a little bit something different and look at something from a slightly different perspective as well. I mentioned last week that we would look at perhaps a different day of the crucifixion rather than Friday, and we will. But I believe the core of it comes back to Isaiah 53. This is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, and you'll see one of my favorite verses in the Bible this week again. But Isaiah 53:3, he was despised and forsaken of men. This was written at least 500 years before Jesus was even born. But this looks ahead to this cross of Christ and this servant of God who served to the point of death that we might live. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And like one man whom men hide their face, he was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely our griefs he himself bore, our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. Man's perspective of who he was and what he was doing on that cross. He was being judged of God, they looked at for his own sins. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. Substitution. And then my favorite verse, all of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all. Fancy word for sin. The Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. Now it all comes down to the cross of Christ. And we celebrate that with communion. This is a scene here on the Emmaus Road. This is after his resurrection. He's appeared to some of the disciples, and here he appears to two more of these disciples that we've never heard of before, but two men walking along this road to Emmaus. And one of them, named Cleopas, he comes up to him, and he says, Jesus walks up to him. They don't recognize him. And he says, what's going on? What's been happening? And one of them named Cleopas answered and said to him, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem and unaware of the things which have happened here in these days? And they're confused about it. They don't have it all figured out. But we were hoping, referring to this Jesus, and they're talking about him. They don't recognize him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, it is the third day since these things have happened. And he said to them, O foolish men, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in Scripture. So basically, he's showing them that everything out of the entire Bible that they have at that point, which is the Old Testament Hebrew Scriptures, all of it points to him. And here is one of those verses that comes out of Jonah. He looked at one of the prophets, for just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the sea monster, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. This is my key verse this morning, because I am arguing that with the typical day of crucifixion being on a Friday, we don't have 3 days and three nights. But we come up with these scriptures like in Mark 15, when evening had already come, because it was the preparation day, that is, before the Sabbath. This is after he's crucified. He's not even come down off the cross yet, okay? But as preparation, that is the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea came and asked for the body of Jesus. Okay, the argument is this is preparation for the Sabbath. What day is the Sabbath? Saturday. So this, therefore, has to be Friday. And that's the argument that persists still to this day. But I argue that there's another possible way to look at things. In John 18, verse 28, we have this. Then they led Jesus from Caiaphas into the praetorium, and it was early. This is after he's arrested, and they're going to be beating him and spitting on him and trying. And they themselves, the Jews, did not enter into the praetorium so that they would not be defiled but might eat the Passover. So there's something else going on during this week than just a Sabbath on Saturday. During this week also is Passover. And we have here in John 19, now it was the day of preparation for the Passover. It was about the sixth hour, and he said to the Jews, "Behold your king." This is Pilate talking. He's presenting Jesus, and pretty soon after that, he's going to be crucified. A preparation day. But preparation for the Passover. Now, when we come back to this passage in Matthew chapter 12, for just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the sea monster, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. If this preparation for Sabbath, this is Friday night, if that occurs, then he's on the cross for a couple hours on Friday evening. He's there all day Saturday and Saturday evening, but he's already gone by Sunday morning. I argue that he rises up from the dead right after sunrise on Saturday. So we don't even have a Sunday. Let's count these days. Let's assume for the sake of argument, and this is what is done, because in Jewish tradition, if there's part of a day, it's considered a whole day, okay? And this is the way this is thought through. We've got a couple hours on Friday, and we've got all day Saturday and Saturday night, and then conceptually we have at least some day on Sunday. But the best case reckoning is 2 days and two nights, and we do not have 3 days and three nights. We make excuses for it. I've done it myself. I've been in this ministry for some 37 years. And I've preached it with Good Friday, except for one occasion where I went through this stuff back in 1996, and then I kind of set it aside, and we've talked about Good Friday. I've hinted around on occasion that maybe he wasn't crucified on Friday. Maybe there was another possibility, because I keep getting stuck. There are a couple other problems we have here, but I keep getting stuck on 3 days and three nights. He says in other places that after 3 days, well, it's starting to look like a very weak argument to say the little tiny bit on Friday night. There's nothing really on Sunday because he's already gone. We've only got Saturday. So I don't see 3 days and three nights. Well, I've let it go because it's such a tradition to have Good Friday that it must be this way. Well, maybe we could start celebrating, I'm not really arguing for this, but a Good Wednesday. Because I'm going to argue that, is there a possibility that he was actually crucified on a Wednesday? Now, when we look at the truths of Scripture, when we look at his sacrifice on the cross, all the things that occurred, the Palm Sunday entrance, and I'm not even going to argue that it wasn't on Sunday, but all of the events occurred. All I'm talking about is the sequence or what day this actually happened. And I think we can come around really to 3 days and three nights. I'm not trying to be cute and I'm not trying to be difficult. I'm just trying to be as accurate as possible and true to the biblical text. Now, I'm one that I'll shy away from tradition every chance I can get. And if there's something that is simply ceremony and tradition for even 1,000 years, I want to know, well, why do we do that? There is a special day during Passion Week called Maundy Thursday. Anybody ever heard of that? Maundy Thursday. Most of you have heard of that. That's one day that I had not even heard of until the last couple years, probably within the last 5 years. have I even heard or tried to figure out what in the world is Maundy Thursday? Well, that would assume the crucifixion on Friday. The Last Supper would be Thursday. And Maundy comes from the Latin word for commandment. It is the commandment to love one another as I have loved you. That's Maundy Thursday. We're celebrating the command to love. I didn't even know that till just a couple years ago, and I've been in this ministry for quite some time. So all of the tradition stuff, all of the things that we celebrate, if I don't have to, I'm not going to do it unless I see some particular reason for it. So I am resisting at least this thing on Good Friday. Now, does it matter a whole lot? No, I don't think it probably matters at all. But I like having fun with some of these things, and I want to look at some alternatives, and I think we've got a very valid alternative here to a Friday crucifixion, and I want to look at something different. So let's look through this kind of stuff. Is it possible that there are two different and separate Sabbaths this week? Both of them are Sabbaths, and both of them definitely have a preparation day. Is it possible that we have two of them that the Bibles are referencing? Typically, the Sabbath is a Saturday, but it's different than the Passover Sabbath. So, if we come to Luke chapter 23, and a man named Joseph, this man went to Pilate, asked for the body of Jesus. He took it down, wrapped it in a linen cloth, laid it in a tomb cut into the rock where no one had ever laid. It was the preparation day, and the Sabbath was about to begin. We just categorically say, must be Friday. But what if the possibility, we're talking about this preparation for Sabbath, was the preparation for the Passover Sabbath, which is not going to be the same day as this Saturday. And that's all I'm arguing for. Now, I want to split up this passage on Mark chapter 16. This is the ladies going to the tomb. In Mark 16:1, it says, when the Sabbath was over. Well, when's that? Well, typically, that Sabbath is Saturday. So after the Sabbath is over, I guess they must be talking about, well, when would it have to be, I guess, early Sunday morning if the Sabbath is over? But when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome bought spices so that they might come and anoint him. They can't buy these spices on the Sabbath. You don't buy or sell anything on the Sabbath, certainly not in Jerusalem in this day. So when are they buying these spices? Are they doing it before dawn on Sunday morning? It isn't likely. So I argue that there's a difference between verse 1 and verse 2. Verse 2, very early on the first day of the week, no doubt when this day is. When is that? Sunday. We're talking about Sunday. I don't have any problem with Easter Sunday. He rises up on the first day of the week. So, this is Sunday. Very early on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. That's a different coming to the tomb than verse 1. I argue that at verse 1, they're after the Sabbath. If the Sabbath is Thursday, if Jesus is crucified on a Wednesday, the preparation for Sabbath, the Passover Sabbath, then they've got Thursday. There's no buying on Thursday, but there is on Friday. So they buy these spices on Friday and get ready to take them up there. Okay. Just possibilities, okay? So then when we come to John 18:28, then they led Jesus Caiaphas into the praetorium. We just looked at this, and it was early. They themselves didn't enter into the praetorium so that they would not be defiled but might eat the Passover. There's no doubt that Passover is this week. And I'm arguing that they don't want to be defiled because Passover is going to be Thursday. This is Friday. So they don't want to go in here. They don't want to be filed. They don't want to be filed on the Wednesday because the Passover then again on Thursday. All right. Then the Jews, because it was the day of preparation, so that the bodies would not return on the cross, would not remain on the cross on the Sabbath day. Now look at this phrase. For that Sabbath was a high day. Ask Pilate that their legs might be broken, they might be taken away. What do you mean, high day? Is it just a typical Sabbath? Is this just a Friday and then a typical Sabbath on Saturday? No, apparently it's a special Sabbath. It's a high day. This is referring to the Passover Sabbath. which is not on Saturday. So Mark 15, when evening had already come, because it was the preparation day, that is the day before the Sabbath, Passover Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea asked for the body to be taken down. We're talking about a Passover Sabbath and a preparation for that day and a regular other Sabbath. Now, here is a passage in Luke chapter 6 that translators are just basically befuddled over. If you have a King James, Luke 6:1 will read this way. If you have a New American Standard, you will have a margin note in the margin of your Bible that this is the way the early text actually reads. And it came to pass, this is just Luke 6. This doesn't have anything to do with the crucifixion itself, but it looks at the phrase and what this must mean. And it came to pass on the second Sabbath after the first that he went through the cornfields. Disciples plucked the ears of corn and did eat, rubbing them in their hands. And certain of the Pharisees said unto them, why do you do that which is not lawful to do on Sabbath days? Because there's more than one Sabbath on this week. This is the second Sabbath after the first. There must actually be one of these holy days. This is Josephus, and he writes this. The Jews were not to march or journey on the Sabbath or on such a great festival as was the equivalent to the Sabbath. That is, there are these special feast days that they consider Sabbaths. Here is one of those. Leviticus 16 is the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. For it is on this day that atonement shall be made for you to cleanse you, and you will be clean from all your sins before the Lord. It is to be a Sabbath of solemn rest. This isn't talking about anything on Saturday. This is talking about Day of Atonement. It is to be a Sabbath of solemn rest for you, that you may humble your souls. It is a permanent statute. This is just simply proof that there is a Sabbath referred to in Scripture that isn't a Saturday. We're not talking about a Saturday Sabbath. We're talking about here Yom Kippur Sabbath. New Bible Dictionary says this, the Pharisaic reckoning, which became standard after AD 70, interpreted Sabbath in Leviticus 23 as the festival day of unleavened bread and not the weekly Sabbath. This is understood stuff. There's more than one Sabbath during this week. Passover Sabbath during Passion Week, two Sabbaths. Therefore, two preparation days. So when we see a scripture that says it was preparation day and they wanted to get all this done because it was preparation for the Sabbath. Okay, that's right. But that preparation day isn't Friday. Isn't necessarily Friday. It can be one of these special days, and this week was Passover. Luke 23 again. It was a man named Josephus. This man went to Pilate, asked for the body of Jesus. He took it down, wrapped it in linen cloth, laid it in a tomb, cut in the rock, no one ever laid. It was the preparation day. Preparation and the Sabbath was about to begin. Which Sabbath? Passover Sabbath. Not a Saturday Sabbath. So they need to get this stuff done. Mark 16. When the Sabbath was over, we saw this already, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices, and so that they might come and anoint him. Passover Sabbath is Thursday. They're doing this. They bought these spices sometime on Friday, after the Sabbath, which was Thursday. You have to have a day in between. This is ignored, but you have to have a day. If they're going out buying this stuff, they have to have a day after the Sabbath in order to do it. After the Passover Sabbath, they have it. And they're getting ready to anoint Jesus eventually on Sunday morning. Very early on the first day of the week. We don't have any problem with that. We know that that is the day following the Saturday Sabbath, which is Sunday. We don't have any problem. I'm not going to try to change Easter Sunday. We don't go that radical. But Jesus is the Passover Lamb. John 1:29, John the Baptist sees Jesus and he says, behold, the Lamb of God. He is that Passover Lamb that takes away the sins of the world. And Paul the Apostle in 1 Corinthians 5 even calls him Christ, our Passover has been sacrificed. Now, before the feast of Passover, this is in John 13, and John deliberately references the Passover when it's talking about Jesus heading to Jerusalem. Now, before the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, I believe that is a deliberate connection between Jesus, his death, and Passover. So he heads to Jerusalem. There are two feast days. There is the typical Sabbath on Saturday, but there's also the Passover on Thursday. So Jesus replaces that Passover. The Exodus Passover was when the people were slaves in Egypt for 400 years. God raises up Moses, and he says, I want you to get these people out of here. They go through 9 plagues, and still Pharaoh isn't willing to get rid of the people and let them go. Finally, there is one last plague. It is the death of the firstborn. Firstborn son in each home, whether it was Jewish, whether it was Egyptian. The firstborn son was going to die. The angel of death was going to come through and kill every firstborn son. But you could prevent that. You could prevent your firstborn from dying by taking the blood of a lamb, putting it over the doorposts of your house. And the angel of death, when he saw the blood, he would pass over that house. And the Jews and we have been recognizing Passover ever since that day. But Jesus takes it another step because he is our Passover. God looks down. The angel of death is looking at us and looking at all of us as having sinned. But Jesus, our Passover, we apply the blood of the Lamb who is Jesus. We apply that blood by faith. We believe that Jesus' blood was applied to the doorposts of our individual houses, doors of our lives. That blood is applied, and the angel of death passes over. It all comes to focus on Jesus. Now, whether he was crucified on a Friday or whether he was crucified on Wednesday, I myself prefer Wednesday. It was a preparation day for the Passover Sabbath. And that gives us 3 full days and 3 full nights that Jesus was in the belly of the earth. So I argue for a Wednesday crucifixion. Take it or leave it. It doesn't matter. I tend to resist religion as usual. I tend to stay away from the typical religious line, the easy way out. The easy way out, hey, he was crucified on a preparation day. Preparation for what? Preparation for Sabbath. Sabbath is Saturday, must be Friday, done. End of story. Don't argue with me anymore. Don't tell me anymore. I don't want to know anymore. Well, what about the 3 days and 3 nights? Part of Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I mean, I even used that terminology when I was about to go get Mary Kay. I knew I was going to leave here on Sunday to go get her. On Friday, I was thinking, man, we're down to 3 days. This could have been evening on Friday. I was actually starting to count the hours, but I would have said, okay, 3 days, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I go get her. So I use that kind of language, and that is typical what we do. So we crucify him on Friday, and he's there on a little bit of Friday. He's there on Saturday. He's actually not there any on Sunday. He's already resurrected right after sundown, I believe, Saturday night. He's already gone on Sunday. And the tomb is not rolled away to let Jesus out. The tomb is rolled away to let the women in because they came to see Jesus. So that's the argument. What is it worth? I don't know. But I'm reasoning for Wednesday, mainly because of the 3 days and 3 nights. That's my biggest argument. Preparation days, I don't have any problem with that because we got 2 Sabbaths that week. One's the Passover Sabbath and one's the Saturday Sabbath. I need time for them to make these purchases. You start reading through that account again, and they don't have any time to go buy anything. If he's crucified on Friday night, they've got between, let's say, 3 o'clock in the afternoon and 6 o'clock in the evening maybe to do it. But they're talking about after the Sabbath going and buying these spices. When in the world do they do that? Well, it's after the Passover Sabbath. Palm Sunday, I'm going to leave alone. Good Friday, we can celebrate it if we want to because we're celebrating the truth of it. We're celebrating the truth of Jesus Christ having died on the cross. You want to say that's a Friday and ignore everything I have thrown out at you, go right ahead. Yes, I care, but that's all right because it is so non-traditional. We have for all of our lives talked about Good Friday. We even sometimes have services on Friday to celebrate the death of Christ. Go ahead, celebrate the death of Christ on Friday. We do that at Christmas time. Jesus probably was not born December 25th. I hate to break your bubble, but that's when we celebrate it. And that's okay. It doesn't matter. He was certainly born of a virgin. Well, here they are. These events happened. I don't doubt any of them. It's just when they happened. So it comes back to this. In us celebrating communion, it's that Passover that we're looking for. It's that Passover where Jesus was probably sacrificed. He died while the Passover lambs were actually being killed, and then they celebrate the Passover the next day. So Jesus is our Passover. So when we come around to communion, that's what we focus upon. We focus upon Jesus and his death. And that's what he focused upon. I believe that's what John 13:1 is all about. He has seen this issue of Passover. He's heading to Jerusalem to celebrate Passover. Well, what kind of a celebration of Passover is he going to celebrate? He's going to celebrate himself as that Passover lamb. And it fulfills what John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb." Could I have the men come forward? And we celebrate this communion because that's what we're talking about. We're talking about the cross of Christ. Did it happen on Friday? Well, I don't think so. I think it happened on a Wednesday. The real truth is that it happened, and it is fact. There's no doubt about it. He died on the cross for our sins, and it happened someday during the week. I believe it was on Passover Day, actually. So these elements represent that event. We're looking at this bread, which is his body broken. There's another truth also with the bread. It's looking at that this bread symbolically comes from one loaf. There's one loaf of bread. And then there's all these different parts broken off that one loaf. We are all parts of that one loaf. So that's part of what's being celebrated when we take communion. We celebrate the fact that we are in this whole thing together. We're parts of one body, one loaf of bread. And it represents his body, which was hung on that cross on Wednesday of Passover week and died on the cross for our sins. Because our sins were taken and placed upon Jesus. The penalty for sin is death. God is holy. So therefore, you can't just say, well, okay, no count. We're not going to say the penalty for sin's death anymore. Well, God doesn't change. God is still perfect in his holiness. The penalty has to be paid. And we don't want to pay it because if we pay it, we're separated from God forever. So that's why Jesus came. He came to pay that penalty. He's hanging on that cross on Wednesday. And God the Father is taking our sins and placing them upon his own Son. And Corinthians, Paul writes, he who knew no sin became sin. Jesus, the Holy One of God, became sin. Well, how did he do that? Our sin. And that's what we celebrate with these elements. And it goes back to the Last Supper where Paul writes, he says, this is given to me on the night in which Jesus was betrayed, took this bread, and he said, take and eat this so you can remember that I'm giving up my body for you. Father, I thank you for the bread. I thank you for the cup. I thank you that Jesus died and it was good. Because he didn't stay dead. He rose up from the dead. And he sits at your right hand, O Lord God, and intercedes for us. And he sends the Spirit to us to help us to understand these hard things. And I pray that you will continue to write your word upon our hearts that we might not sin against you. And Lord God, now I thank you for this cup. In Jesus' name. Thank you. Reading from 1 Corinthians 11. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Father, I thank you for the promise of coming again and setting up a kingdom and allowing us to be a part of it. I praise you and I thank you, Father, for a time with you in your presence forever. Lord God, if there's anyone here who has never placed their faith in Jesus, right now, Lord God, let them do so in the quietness of their own heart. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Thank you.